everyone. This is episode 251. This is the first episode of the new year, and it also features a brand new intro song. Same old outro song. Haven't decided what to do there yet. Don't know that this intro song is going to stick. It's the one I'm using right now, and I'm kind of happy with it, so we'll see. Let us know what your thoughts are, or if you want something different. I would prefer a rap again, but it'll be hard for the Dean of Rap, DDP, to get back on top of it and get it done. But maybe he will. Maybe he'll have this challenge. He's like, you know what? I will make you another rap, because no matter what happens in the history of our show, people cannot argue we didn't have the best opening theme song of all time when we were called the Rapcast, because we did. All right. With that out of the way and all that said, let's go ahead and jump into this episode. This was me and Jay. This was us talking about a lot of TV shows that came out, a lot of Marvel stuff, and then we get just very, very small into baseball at the end. So hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully we have a full crew next week, and hopefully we'll see you soon. Here it comes right after the new song, which is got a right in the middle, has an explosion that's going to be around about now. All of that here when we get started. And I guess if you're ready, I'm ready. Well, then we are back. And this is it's kind of appropriate because it's 251, which seems like a round number to start. Not a not round number, but a good starting number for the first episode of the new year. It is just you and I, and that you that I would be talking to would be Bombcast J right across from me.
Hi.
And I'm going to tell you, a couple things have changed since the New Year's. I haven't had a drink since 2021.
Me neither.
I know. I'm not going to drink all through. Actually, I want to drink January 31st is when I'm going to have a drink, because that's my work trip to Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm not going to not drink beers out of state. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a weird new year. I mean, this is the first episode of the podcast that I don't know, and somebody can correct me if they've listened to all of them, but I think in 251 episodes, this might be the first completely booze-free episode that we've ever done by both hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we're growing up.
Yeah.
In 2022. We're trying to make 2022 a good year.
Well, I'm pulling up my stats on Untappd to see how it was for last year.
Oh, I checked mine.
My wife is going to think I'm an alcoholic if she listens. Yeah. I think she already believes that, but I think it was like 450 check-ins.
I grew over the previous year, which is weird because that previous year would have been like, well, I guess that makes sense. That was our COVID year.
No,
2020 would have been COVID year, and I grew 2021, which means we got out of the house and got to drink again. It's kind of the way it looked like.
Yeah. 508 check-ins.
Yeah, you undersold yourself.
I was up 30.
Missy got a little irritated at hers because she had a decent year too, but it cuts off at, like, when that list comes out, they don't count it until the next year.
Yeah.
So if she checked it each week to see where she was at, she's like, it's the same fucking stats every week. Yeah, I didn't break them down this year, and I could bring mine up, but yeah, that all in all, I drank a lot in 2021. I'm been going through therapy for my back. I know my weight is unhealthy, so I'm like, let's just kickstart fitness by not drinking January. So we're giving it a go.
Well, we're going to Mexico in February also, so.
Yeah. So you want to look good for Mexico.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a bikini wax and tan and all that stuff.
Yeah. Already got the Speedo pick down.
We need those pictures for a podcast cover episode. So that said, I guess, you know, I'd asked you a little bit about your New Year's, but I'm not going to bore people with our New Year's because it seems like both of us had the most boring New Year's you could have. We didn't do anything.
No.
We were even going to watch a movie, Free Guy. We were going to rent that because I figured Hayden would enjoy that, but we didn't do that. We ended up just watching a bunch of Cobra Kai, which I guess is as good as anywhere to start. I know you're not caught up on it, but I did want to talk about a little bit. You are wearing the shirt.
I've got the shirt.
You are wearing the shirt, which is awesome. You know, this is Tom's last trip to Nashville, so we'll start seeing him on a more regular basis. It had been a good episode for he and I, but we went back and forth via text messages. Oh, excuse me. I'm not going to go into super detail. Here's all I'm going to say about Cobra Kai, just because I brought it up. I don't know if you've seen, but this is the best rated season so far per metrics.
Yeah.
It's might be my least favorite season so far.
Yeah.
And the main reason is that, with the exception of maybe Miguel and eventually Hawk, there's not a likable character on the show.
Yeah.
No one makes a good decision, and no one has the greater good's best interest. Everyone is selfish this season.
Yeah, it was heading that way, too.
And it gets real bad.
Yeah.
And, like, and this is no spoiler for you, the last 5 minutes, they kind of all make up for it, you know, like you would expect.
Yeah.
It's not good enough storytelling.
Yeah.
I give this season, with my review, and I want to hear yours once you watch it, I give it a whole, as a whole, 3 out of 5. And here's what I'll say at the end of all that. I'm still going to watch next season when it comes out. I'm still going to watch it. I like it. I tell you what I do. You know, all these, like, reimagining or relaunches, or even this is more of a sequel of these shows from our youth, like, for instance, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch or Riverdale. Archie essentially reimagined. This one, even though it's full of the melodrama as well, I still like it better than those, so I'll still keep giving it a go. And I like Daniel and Johnny.
Yeah. So, do you think we're going to get to a point where this whole nostalgia porn phase that we're in is going to wear out?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think as long as you because here's the deal, as we get older, the nostalgia also ages, so it'll be different shows. I mean, we're mining the 80s with the He-Man and the Karate Kid. Eventually there'll be the kind of the 90s things, which will be some cartoons, like Gargoyles, things like that.
It just seems like everyone's trying to tap into it right now. You got like Matrix, the new Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff. I was looking back at last year at stuff I watched, and I felt like the best nostalgia stuff was more like 8-Bit Christmas and Paper Tigers, which were like different things I liked, but not like the same thing.
Yeah, kind of tributes to them instead of flat, straight reimagining or stuff like that.
Or retelling the same story.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the reason I say it'll never go away. Mm. The amount of outlets for content and the amount of content that people need to put out to fill space, they got to find something.
Yeah.
And Hollywood ran out of ideas at the exact same time comic book movies started. So that's and here we are, in year 12, 13, 14 of that boom, and it's still not burst. In fact, this week, because we went and saw No Way Home, Hayden has went back, and she's watching all of the Tobey Maguire ones.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she was watching them on Paramount Plus. And at the new year, they took them off before she could watch the third one.
Oh.
But they're like $2-3 to rent. So we're going to rent them for her as she wants to watch them. But she liked Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Yeah.
She thought Tobey Maguire was great. So, and she's super excited about Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, which said no one ever.
Yeah. You know? Well, I went back and watched all of them. Will wanted to watch them all before we saw that. Amazing Spider-Man 1 is actually a decent movie.
I did not hate that movie. I liked some of the decisions they made.
Yeah.
Went back to web shooters, and they kind of gave him some intelligence and, you know, a little more. I dug that.
Yeah.
The second one, that one was the Amazing Spider-Man 2 is the worst of all the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. 3 is pretty bad. Spider-Man
3 is pretty bad.
It's a close race to the bottom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, there's, I guess the next two things I brought to the table today aren't nostalgia-ridden, but which is a good thing. But you're right. I mean, it's, like I said, the comic book movie trend is still riding. The nostalgia is going to ride high as long as it can go. I mean, we've still not seen, I mean, think of all the stuff that's out there that can be, you know, we've seen Thundercats redone a little bit, even though I didn't like it. We've seen He-Man done a couple of times.
Yeah.
We saw G.I. Joe in the form of some movies.
Unfortunately.
We still want to see that Masters of the Universe movie. I still want to see that if it ever happens. But we'll see what happens. You know, I picture, like, you know what I would love to see, and I know it kind of, well, actually, we won't get into that. I was going to say I'd like to see something new with Marvel, like Super Friends or DC come back with Super Friends.
Yeah.
But they also do a good job on the other things. But I did have a of all the things I typed out, I do have a list. I'm going to let you go to a topic next, but I do have a list that I just saw literally right before you walked in the door.
Okay.
And we're going to go over its merits.
Okay.
But I do, that was my Cobra Kai. I don't want to dwell on it. I watched it. Tom watched it. We had a lot of thoughts back and forth. I can't wait till he comes on, and I can't wait till you watch it. And we'll really dive in, because there's some, I won't say deep, it's not like it's deep, but there's some deep conversation that could be had about each character, because each character has... There's a lot of interesting... Even though everybody's essentially bad in this, there's a lot of interesting character arcs that they chose to do with people, and I think you'll be surprised by that last episode which direction certain characters take.
Okay.
So it'll be fun for you. All right. That said, what'd you bring?
Oh, well, I'm sure you're one to talk about it, too, but Letterkenny Season 10.
That is the... I've got that on my list, in no particular order, but it was something that's on my list. I finished it today.
Okay.
Wait, let me go back. Did I tell you Cobra Kai gave it a 3.5 out of 5?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I could lead right into my Letterkenny. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
This is going to sound like a diss. It might be my least favorite season of Letterkenny so far.
I'm leaning that way, too.
Least amount of laughs I've had.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh, yeah.
So... The only complaint, and this doesn't give you a spoiler, there's no stakes to this final episode. There's no cliffhanger, you know, nothing, no one shows up, nothing like that.
So this is the shortest season. I wonder if it's tied to COVID.
It could be. It could be written and done the way they just started when they could do it.
Because they did 6 episodes instead of the normal, I think, 10.
Because I'll tell you, the final episode feels the most like a self-contained episode of all of them.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah.
For the show. That said, we still got a lot of good fights.
Oh, yeah. we got Sausage Fest.
You'll love that. You won't get this joke. Yeah, Sausage Fest was great. you won't get this joke yet, but we got it. There was some good. There was a lot of. There was more drunk Wayne, or I should say Wade, this season, because you'll see that final episode's great. Wade, Don, and Gary.
Yeah.
Which led to some funny moments. And I think, though, overall, what was it? I was thinking my favorite moment of the whole thing, my favorite joke, I kind of texted you one of the lines from it. I mean, the best jokes I think this show does, which many are great. One of my favorite was of the... what do they call them? The druggies. They call them
The skids.
The skids. When this, you know, the main skid and his lackey who's in love with him, the gay skid.
Stuart.
The main skid goes, "Get over here." And the other one goes, "Toasty." And I just died laughing. Those subtle jokes are great. Yeah. But outside of that kind of stuff, my favorite joke of this season was the one where they were talking about how redneck Dan's cousin's house is.
Yeah, they were comparing like the cousin and the uncle.
Yeah, the cousin and the uncle. And my favorite of many, they go for a long time, but my favorite joke in that one is when he goes, "Your house is so redneck, there's bird shit inside on the carpet inside the house."
Yeah.
And that just cracked me up. The whole thing was hilarious.
You can't prove that's what it is.
Oh, no. Well, the other thing, he goes, "There was an excessive amount of blood on the sink," or what she goes, a substantial amount of blood on the ring around the sink, the bathtub, and the toilet. And Dan goes, "Define substantial."
Yeah.
The show continues to... you know what this season was? It was the least Wayne season we've seen.
And something else I noticed they were missing was a lot of the banter. Where they would, like, the wrestling episode where they were going back and forth just making puns out of the wrestler names.
Yeah.
They didn't have as much of that this season.
The last episode, they banter away.
Okay.
Drunkenly banter away.
Okay.
You know what? And they did, they held on to jokes like almost to like a Family Guy link this season.
Yeah.
For instance, Jonesy jokes where he was talking he's talking to Jonesy
and Riley,
and he's talking about fucking their moms over and over, and it never stops. But that's okay. I don't mind the lingering jokes.
No, I was laughing the whole time because he one-upped the joke every single time.
Oh, yeah. There's a good Shorzy episode because Wayne and Shorzy have the same voice, right? That's Wayne.
It is Wayne.
Yeah. So there's an entire episode that you've seen that one with Shorzy and Wayne essentially together.
Yeah.
But
ice rink.
They don't have a conversation once, and that to me is funny.
Yeah.
Until the very end of the episode when he tells him, goodbye, see you later then. You know? And it's like, I know that's a meta joke because they are the same voice, so they just did that.
Yeah.
But that was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I did like the car sale scene where they went to help Wayne's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. So, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I don't. Maybe my memory is fuzzy, but wasn't we led to believe that she was pregnant when she came back at the cliffhanger at the end of last season? Wasn't that what we thought it was going to be?
It's vaguely familiar.
It seemed like that's where they were going, and then she shows up, and all she wants you to do is buy a truck.
Yeah.
Which was, I was like, that was, I didn't go back and look it up, but that confused me.
Yeah.
Because it also seemed like we missed the joke. Like, I missed the joke somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your rating for the season, though?
Probably 4.5.
Yeah, still a great show.
Yeah.
Still consistently maybe the funniest show year over year on TV.
I think the only two shows I liked more this past year were Hawkeye and Ted Lasso.
But strong shows.
Yes.
Maybe we should have done a year-end best of show. But that's, I did bring something, but to I want to talk about one more show that came to an end that Missy and I watched in Yellowstone. But before we do that, let's segue off of Letterkenny to something you just mentioned.
Okay.
And this was from comicbook.com.
Okay.
They released Marvel's Disney's Plus series ranked worst to best.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through this for you. And I'm going to see who... Let's see who the... Well, let's pause that. Don't need to bring that shit up. I don't know. I guess this is just their list. So here is the best to worst. And let's give credit where it's care. This is Kofi Outlaw. That's a fake name, right? Kofi Outlaw.
No, he does one of their podcasts.
Okay. Well, that's still a fake name. Your podcast guy. So this is his list. So number 5. And I'm going to start with your number 5, and I want you to guess the order after I'm done. Okay. I'll give you a baseline. Number 5, What If? They said they go in to talk about why and who. But so far, do you have a problem? Do you think What If that's right where it should be?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so let's get to number 4. What do you think number 4 is?
Knowing them, I would say Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Number 4, Falcon and Winter Soldier. And you, once we get done, we'll argue the merits of the list.
Yeah.
Let's see if they cite anything. They said it had just big high points and massive drag points to the season is why it didn't go higher than the top competitors, which puts us at number 3, which surprised me. What do you think it is?
God. I mean, you could really argue for any of them that's left. I think they probably went WandaVision.
WandaVision come in at number 3. It says Kofi and Matt loved WandaVision, but felt that stronger shows overtook it as the year went on. It's weird to see that come in at number 3 because that one was probably the most critically praised at first.
Yeah,
and won the got nominated for all the awards. Now we haven't seen some of the other ones, you know.
Yeah.
Loki certainly made it in under the gun for award season, but it was snubbed. But that brings us number 2, and sorry to ruin it, but it is Loki. Which is odd because Loki was actually, if you remember when it was out, it was panned and was constantly compared. It and Falcon Winter Soldier were still drawing those comparisons to how great WandaVision was.
Yeah.
But Loki, I think the reason for me I would put Loki 2, and they don't say really, they just talk about how good it was. I think the reason it falls in at 2 to me because it's helped lead us to so much of what will be.
Yeah.
Impacted in the Marvel universe and
yeah.
a big bad guy for the Marvel and good guys potentially
probably more so than anything else too
of the shows certainly that's hard to say though because I mean they've done a good job of tying all these shows to the actual MCU and I can't say one influence because if you think about it Wanda's gonna help Doctor Strange pretty big time
right
and that's all set up by the stuff that she did and knowing that she has the ability to mess with realities that he'll need help with.
Yeah.
But
I think opening up the multiverse so they can do those stories, which gives you What If, which gives you Kang.
Yeah. But see, also, but Spider-Man No Way Home opened up the multiverse for us, you know?
And yeah.
Actually, Endgame opened it up for us by showing us taking the stones, and they had to go put them in right order. And I was thinking about that, as a matter of fact, as it ended before you walked in, it was on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
Cap staying back there kind of changed a timeline for them. So they've done a good job of no one show has been more influential than the other, but then you think of What If, it's given us Dark Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Did Cap staying there really change things? Because Sharon Carter said that she got married at one point.
Oh, that is true. I was just explaining to the kids, or to the wife and Hayden, that was just his natural timeline.
Yeah.
And it didn't affect anything, and it was hard. Hey, time stuff's hard to grasp. Hayden was having trouble with it. But yeah, I just don't buy into that they could put them back perfect.
Yeah.
And not affect anything.
Yeah.
But it's still... all these shows were great.
Yeah.
I guess the least impactful would be Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, yeah, we're getting a new Cap.
Yeah.
We're getting a new bad guy, sorta, we think. We think.
Yeah.
Spoiler warning for those that don't know, in Sharon Carter.
Yeah. We got more Zemo, who's going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't know what any of that's going to have to do with any movies other than the Falcon Winter Soldier movie, that Captain America 4 or whatever.
It also gave us Val, but she was supposed to be coming anyway because they were going to introduce her first in Black Widow before it got delayed.
Yeah, that's right. And she will be some sort of bad guy. In fact, there's a lot of dangling plot threads. But still, those don't seem as big scale as the things that happened in Loki.
Yeah.
And
I think long-term, though, Hawkeye probably has the least effect just because we'll get Kingpin, and we'll get an Echo show and maybe more Kate Bishop, but it doesn't have big long-term plans.
So that brings us to, obviously, what number one is. To me, it was my favorite of the Disney Plus shows to date. The only thing I'll argue with you there is I think Kingpin is set up to be a new bad guy, a big bad guy. Probably going to be a bad guy that is going to have to play second fiddle and won't like it, and then ends up pulling his swerve, like that. But in terms of hero impact, Hawkeye's Hawkeye. Kevin Smith said it best when he said it, that what this show did was take a character that he thought was a throwaway character and made him feel important.
Yeah.
And he said it was Haley Steinfeld's and Kate Bishop's quote that you'd only do it with a stick and a string.
Yeah.
And
you took on an alien invasion with a bow and arrow.
With a stick and a string.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, the show was great.
It was.
I can't wait for Moon Knight because of how good this one is. And I think the show is what we needed because we've talked about all of this impact from all these shows. We did need a grounded show.
Yeah.
But you still did get Kingpin back.
Yeah.
And you got a powerful Kingpin.
Yeah.
One that is... Daredevil has beat. Spider-Man has beat.
Mm-hmm.
It could be argued that Hawkeye cannot beat him hand-to-hand.
Yeah.
Hawkeye can't beat Daredevil or Spider-Man hand-to-hand.
Right.
So there's a hierarchy that they establish on how tough characters are.
Yeah.
And a bad guy that's, even though he's human, can be ran over by a car, shot with an arrow, and not even blink an eye.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him, the explosion helped, but that should, you know. But Hawkeye also did some cool stuff and touch other parts of the universe. The PEM particles, just some cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we got to revisit the Battle of New York from the same scene from a different angle, which was so cool.
Super cool. Super cool. But so do we have a problem with this article, or where would you... Is there any moving or changing that you would do?
So 2-3 is kind of...
Interchangeable?
Could go either way.
Yeah.
It just depends on when I see them.
I would have told you after WandaVision, there'd be no way in Falcon and Winter Soldier, there'd be no way I'd change my rating.
Yeah.
I like Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's hard, too, because putting something at 5 means it on the surface looks like you didn't like it. But
yeah.
I loved all of them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have thought that until Loki came out. When I finished Loki as a whole and I thought about it more and the performances that were put out by Loki... I don't think I'd change this list as is.
Yeah.
I think I would stay hard on the list. But what a good list to argue, though, of TV.
What
a good list of TV. And this has been, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
A year and a half?
No.
Has it all been this year?
It's all been, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It started last February, I think.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll get to what's going on now in the Throw It to Missy segment of where Disney Plus is right now. We'll just, because there's no reason to give it a lot of time since there's only been one episode. But, it's just the amount of content, and I made the comment to Bender, the amount of content that they put out on Disney Plus has been it's been staggering. And I do feel like with Spider-Man No Way Home and that Doctor Strange trailer, it's starting to feel like a big universe. Like, not big, but major movie going again.
Yeah.
It's starting to build back up to that.
Yeah.
Black Widow, because it was a mix of COVID and Black Widow, and I certainly didn't get excited for Eternals.
Yeah.
But the Spider-Man No Way Home was so fucking good.
It was.
And the Doctor Strange trailer looks so fucking good.
Yeah.
And by the way, we haven't seen... We're just seeing leaked pictures of Thor Love and Thunder, which, if Taika Waititi gives us what he gave us in Ragnarok, is going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, And like you said, I know you've talked about Young Avengers on here. It feels like it's going somewhere again, which is awesome.
Almost multiple places.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Because, I mean, you're probably going to get a lot more street level, because... They've said Charlie Cox is going to be in a bunch of stuff.
He should be.
That scene
was amazing. Yeah.
Before he does anything on his own, he's going to be showing up other places.
I want that shirt.
Yeah. we're going to see him in Cord and She-Hulk. I have to.
And that's where I expected to see him first.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we all expected to see him in Spider-Man first, but then we kind of got the red herring that from Kevin Feige himself, and the fact that we do know She-Hulk will be a courtroom.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this, but do you know She-Hulk's finally back to normal in the comics?
Oh, is she? She's no longer She-Hulk, big
and
hulking
in any way. Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, and I'm sorry to sound so perverted, but us children of the 90s, 80s, and 90s comics, we know certain truths about our comic books and what they do with women in comics. And She-Hulk has always been one of the ones at the top of that pinup girl list.
Yeah.
And has herself fought the identity crisis of being a lawyer and a model.
Yeah.
And they kind of made her hulkish looking, big, swollen, and not that I have anything wrong with that, it just wasn't her.
Yeah.
Now she's back to normal, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, that's good.
Because it made sense also to not do it because of the TV show. She wasn't going to be that.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of stuff they've kind of adjusted in the comic books to match up with what they're doing in the movies.
Well, and they have to. And I don't necessarily know that I'm okay with that as a whole.
Yeah.
This is one I actually agree with.
Yeah. So this is a lot better than Wanda and Pietro not being mutants.
I don't like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's silly. But let's go. Well, and I get why the movies couldn't do it. The politics around who owned what rights and all that stuff.
Yep.
But it didn't make sense why the comic book had to change, which is stupid. Let's jump to this one, and I don't think this is a show you watch, but Yellowstone.
I've heard a lot about it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
This season 4 just ended. Another one, kind of like the same boat as Letterkenny. I gave this one a 4 out of 5, and all the other seasons to me have been solid 5 out of 5s.
Yeah.
Has been kind of one of those ones where stuff seems to be kind of accelerated. Like, stories haven't been fleshed out like they have in the past.
Yeah.
They just kind of wrap up. And it seemed like things... It just seemed like this was a kind of a take a step back and take a breath season. And then it hits us with the good feeling and brutal scene in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, that's why this show's fucking great.
Yeah.
For one thing, for those, and this is a spoiler warning, people, a beloved character, probably my favorite character on the show, Jimmy, who was kind of a drug-dealing, drug-addict kid that his grandpa was friends with John Dutton, Kevin Costner's character, so he agreed to take him in and make a man out of him, and he promised his grandpa he'd do that, so Jimmy got a lot of got a couple of chances, fucked up a lot, really was shit on constantly by all the other cowboys and all the other ranch hands. He got shipped off to a Texas ranch, and they said, well, if, you know, you don't learn to be a cowboy there, there's just no good for you. Well, he comes back. And they've been following his story. It's not like he's left the show. So he come back to the ranch, and in a fucking great scene, John Dutton tells him, Jimmy, I'm proud of you. You don't owe me a thing. And you see all these guys that have been real assholes to him kind of getting teary-eyed that he decides to leave them.
Yeah.
And this is a slight spoiler for even you do, but it won't ruin it because you're going to know anyway, because there's a new show called The Four Sixes that's going to come out.
Yeah.
And he's going to go be the star of that show. So it's another ranch in Texas.
Yeah.
Here's something people don't know. The 4-6 ranch, well, I'm sure people do know. Diehard fans of the show know. So there's an asshole on the show, an asshole who is a competitive horse rider. That's Taylor Sheridan, the creator and writer of the show.
Okay.
In real life. He's that character. There's also a 4-6 ranch in Texas that's a real ranch, which is owned by Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah.
You talk about going for... I don't know what this guy was doing other than being a cowboy in life.
Yeah.
Which is probably gave him some good money. But now he's got 1883,
amazing reviews. Haven't started it yet.
Yeah.
Yellowstone, one of the biggest shows on TV. He's going to have another 4-6, which is going to be an ad for his steers and cow, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That guy's just rolling in dough.
Yeah, he is.
It's worth it. I tell you this. I've said this on the show before. My biggest problem with this show has nothing to do with the show. My biggest problem with this show is that it is so supported by extreme right-wing people that it makes it, like, I almost have to be a closet fan of it. But it's a great written show.
That's what I'm worried about, based off some of the people that have told me about it.
Yeah, it is. But what's weird. The show doesn't get in politics. Actually, this is the first season where they've always had to be in politics because there's people running for offices and stuff in the town. This season, you see John Dutton running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
He announces it to keep his son, Jamie, from doing it, which is a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think Taylor Sheridan probably did this on purpose. John Dutton went up there and said he took his stance on what his political views are.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with left or right, you know, anything like that. It was, if you want progress and change, well, I'm not the man for you. I'm here to slow things down, because he wants to keep the ranch the rant. And it was like, oh, that's their way of saying, I might be Republican because I'm a gun owner, but I also am a tree hugger a little bit because I want to keep the land land. So I was like, that's a good episode. My only complaint, and it's not a big complaint, like I said, this season was kind of a take a breath season, is Casey, who's the biggest, well, Rip's the biggest badass, and if you ever watch the show, we'll debate on which one is the bigger badass, because they actually fight. I argue that Rip threw the fight, but Casey and him are the two. Casey's a badass. Rip's the meanest person on the show. But Casey, who you want to see more of, he didn't have much this season, and I think that was intentional. You know it's intentional because it's a written fucking show, but... Yeah. That was my only complaint. Still 4 out of 5. Still a great show. Still worth watching. And again, in spite of how excessive fandom from the far, far... And I'm talking about the extreme right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that scare me. It's way worth it. So, what did you bring next?
Well, I was going to ask you, if Wayne came down to the ranch, who would be the toughest guy in the ranch then?
Well, Wayne is the toughest man in Letterkenny, which makes him the toughest man in the world.
Yeah.
I was telling Misty that. Wayne wins because he's got that one-punch KO power.
Yeah.
And a granite chin.
Yeah.
So, I hate it. Rip, though, you see Rip do some pretty impressive things, like jerk grown men across a fence with one hand and stuff. But Wayne's the toughest man in Letterkenny. Therefore, he's the toughest man in the world.
He's also not afraid of giving the sucker punch. So.
Oh, that's exactly. Well, neither is Rip nor Casey. So, a lot of shooting and killing. The only thing that cracks me up the most about this show is I can't remember where we were at. Oh, like me and Missy were talking. We saw something. I go, man, if you watch Yellowstone and you're a fan of that show, you would be led to believe that the most dangerous job in the world is ranch handling, because there's a lot of murder that goes on that show. But so it's a little unbelievable. And if you can believe, Letterkenny may be more believable. Because I don't live in Canada. That could be 100% true.
Yeah. Well, I think there is some truth to it, because Wayne has drawn from, or Jared Kelso, who created it, has drawn from, like, personal experience for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they turn it up a notch and exaggerate it. Listen, 90% of the times when we talk about a show in this podcast, it's because we love it. Now, we will talk about some shitbag stinkers, but in this episode, I tell you, if we're talking about them, we like them all. But man, and to give you an idea how great we love Letterkenny, the fucking show just came out a week ago.
Yeah.
And we're done with it. Now, it is only 6 episodes. But the same with Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
We're done with it.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in. And, you know, I was on vacation. I watched some shows.
Yeah. So I didn't really bring anything else. Just Letterkenny.
Just watch something to be... Something that let me ask you this about your Letterkenny. How have you not watched the final episode yet?
The kids were around.
You can't let them watch that one.
No.
Speaking of, was it this episode or was it the second to last episode? I can't remember. How raunchy are the McMurrays in this season?
Oh, I know.
The
bet.
What was it called? The gash gin or gin gas?
Something like that, yeah.
Instead of a gin and tonic, it was and then, you know, the gin and bum. That was as naughty and That was as raunchy as a scene as you're going to get in any TV show.
Pretty much, well, yeah.
And, of course, the sausage party.
Yes.
But that's innuendo and unintentional.
Yeah.
Of raunchiness. But those fucking McMurrays, and they even talked about doing the snorting cocaine while they were doing this.
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow. And she kept her socks on. God damn it.
That's, yeah, that's what drove Gail nuts.
Yeah. And Gail, who is the raunchiest person in all the show. I do like that we got a new girl to be our object of our infatuation, other than, and again, you haven't heard this joke yet, but Connie McMurphy.
I saw that part. I think that was at the end of 5.
Connie McMurphy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You guys,
they go into it more?
Well, it's all because, it wasn't in 5. It's only in 6 because it's a letter Wade gets that's addressed to the wrong, it's addressed to Wade.
I guess I did start 6 it. Oh, yeah, I did see some of that.
Yeah, so that's why they all, and they spend the whole episode drunk.
Yeah.
And so everybody knows, if you've seen any of the seasons, it's Sundays for picking up stones.
Yep.
And they're already hammered by the time. There was a lot of that. They come over and they're like, oh, God. I know we're trailing back to Letterkenny, but I will take it back. My other favorite joke of the season is when Wayne was the only one drunk.
Yeah.
And he kept getting up and circling when he was going to fight Derry.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, what'd you say? And he walks around and he goes, that's what I thought. And sat back there. I just cracked me up.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The only thing I brought other than that stuff, I guess, is just to throw it to Missy stuff, which, you know, I mean, we can get to and we'll see what happens. Let's jump into this. This is the thing. Harry Potter reunion. I watched it.
Okay.
Are you have any inclination to watch it?
I do. I mean, I've read the books. I've seen all the movies. I've been trying to get the kids to watch the movies.
Same here. My kids aren't into it, but my oldest I get.
Yeah.
But Hayden seems like she would dig them, and I might still be able to get her. Now I'm going to tell you this. I've said this on the podcast before. I had, after my first shoulder surgery, I think the third book was out. I think it was out. I was tired of playing GameCube NCAA football.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, after you get to 15 straight season of winning the national championships and recruiting the number one draft pick, it gets a little monotonous, but I loved it. It took me 15 seasons. That's a lot of playing.
Yeah.
But I had an arm in a sling so I could hold it, like, you know, close to my chest and play it, which would exhaust my other arm. So I would have to find things to entertain myself. So Dwayne, you know, best friend, been on the show, Big D, he said, dude, I've been telling you for a year now, read Harry Potter. My girlfriend at the time I lived with, she's at the grocery store. She calls me. She goes, is there anything you need from the grocery store? I said, will you do me a favor? I said, will you go? She's at Walmart. Mm-hmm. So I said, will you go to the book section and buy the first Harry Potter book?
Yeah.
I think the fourth book was due to come out like 3 weeks later. She bought me that book like on a Tuesday. By Sunday, I had pre-ordered the fourth one, and I had read the first three.
Yeah.
Now, and I was like, so I love those books. And I get that we were adults when they came out, and they were a kid's book. But anybody that, and they make this point on the reunion, especially with the second and third director, anybody that thinks that these are just children's books, who've never read the book.
Right.
Because they grow up with each book.
Yeah.
And the reunion does a great job of not just of saying how unique it was to make these movies,
mm-hmm.
and have the actors start it and finish it growing up with the story, and it makes sense. And they's like, I don't they make the point, they're like, I don't know that this will ever be done in movies again.
Probably not.
You know, Richard Linklater did it with
Boyhood. Yeah,
but he did that intentionally. This is fiction. Well, that was fiction too, but this was based on some literature, and it just happened to grab them. You know, they talk and they show some cool footage stuff. I guess the thing that is painfully obvious is that they call her Jo. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was her first name. I just have always called her J.K.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling. Rowling. They pronounce it Rowling. I didn't know that either. It could just be their British accents.
Could be.
I don't know. In fact, the only American on this fucking movie is this reunion is Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
Then everyone else is British from every director there on out, or Irish, or Joe is not on there. And they have footage of her, it's from a 2019 interview she did. And I guess for those that don't know, she's facing cancel culture. Even though we canceled cancel culture last episode, canceled the canceling, she's still facing a little bit of fallout from her Twitter rants, I guess.
Yeah.
But so what I did like, though, that even though that she's not on it, except for those flash that archival footage of her interviews, the cast doesn't shy away of talking about their fondness for her and how great the stories are and how brilliant she was, which, whether you agree with her or not, you can have some kooky people in life that can be pretty awesome people to know. Maybe that's what she is, but the cast loved her, and they talk about some things like, it's very different than the Friends reunion because there's no Q&A.
Yeah, okay.
It's just, and they like the way you do it. They start, chapter one is the first movie, and the Chris Carlin, and then the next chapter is the next two movies with the next director.
Yeah.
And they do it in the phases and tell the story that way. And they talk about, you know, the auditioning process or the casting call process to get Harry.
Yeah.
And how his parents didn't want him to do it. And then Emma Watson talks about quitting. She was going to quit before Prisoner of Azkaban, I think, because of how famous they were getting.
Yeah.
And she was like, it just got to be too much.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to convince her to come back. And like, Rupert Murdoch, or not Rupert, Rupert...
Gint?
Yeah, yeah. And Daniel Radcliffe, they didn't even know. They're like, I didn't know you were that close to quitting. They're like, yeah, I mean, we producer had to come in and save the day.
Wow.
And that would have probably ended. I mean, she was...
Oh, yeah.
Dumbledore, I get. They replaced Dumbledore. But you could not have replaced her.
No, you couldn't have.
They also, this is where I was going to go a while ago. This show, these books, even though they're kids' books, quote unquote kids' books, they were so impactful and I loved the story so much. They had teary eyed watching the fucking reunion a couple of times. They had the in memoriam section.
Yeah.
God bless. Alan Rickman and the kids talked about how weird it was that they were kids, but they were with not just actors, but the highest level of trained actors. And, you know, fuck, I forgot that John Hurt is the one.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so they were just talking about, and they were talking about, you know, like Daniel Radcliffe, or Rupert Gint, he talks about, he goes, I'll never forget, or maybe it was Emma Watson, I don't know. He goes, I'll never forget when they announced who was going to be playing Sirius Black.
Yeah.
Sirius Black. That they were like, you freaked out. He was like, yeah, yes. Why am I blanking on his name?
Oldman.
Gary Oldman. They go, when Mr. Oldman gets here, guys, be cool. Just let him know we're cool. Because they were like, what? He's like, he's maybe the greatest actor in the world. Let him know we're cool.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he gets there, and he was one of the first big names to just treat us like actors. They didn't treat us like little kids. And he goes, and they're like, trust me, we were little kids. We were hard. Christopher Columbus talks about it. He goes, I've done a lot of kids' movies, but never with this many kids.
Yeah.
And he goes, and we kind of let them be kids in between takes. Like, let them play.
Yeah.
Let them have fun. It's super awesome. It's worth all hour and 40 minutes of it.
Okay,
it's super
awesome. I need to check it out. I think we're going to push the movies on the kids again. I think they're at a point where they're more interested in seeing them. Can't get them to read the books, though, for anything.
Oh, isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Well, and I get it, because you look at those books, and they start this thin, and they get thicker, and then that final book is...
So Kaylee read the first one, and she loved it. But she's reading something at all times, and now she's in a different fantasy series. So
again, too, and we've talked about this on this show. We've talked about our kids and your kids. You also have, what's weird with your kids is that you have drastically different kids,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to forget that your oldest kid is the oldest, and Kaylee is actually to an age where she'll start doing more adult things.
Yep.
So I could see why it would be hard. It's just because your middle kid is so stoic and athletic and grown up seeming, it's you forget that they're not transposed.
Yeah.
So I could see why it would be hard to get her into it now.
Yeah. Like we're trying to get her into Stephen King because she loves horror too.
Oh, that's awesome. Does she like scary movies?
Oh, yeah.
And do you guys... How does she watch scary movies? Like, because I know you guys aren't scary movie. Or do you pick ones that you can watch, like Cabin in the Woods? And
I haven't really watched any with her.
You have seen Cabin in the Woods, right?
No.
Holy fuck.
I know.
You would love that movie.
I probably would.
I mean, that's less of a... I mean, there are some scary parts to it, but as a meta commentary and you know, it's great.
I think the only horror movie I've seen in the last probably 5 years has been New Mutants, and that wasn't even that scary.
Yeah, that wasn't that scary. But, I didn't hate that. Did we talk about that on the show?
Yeah, I think we did.
I didn't hate it.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But there was one day, I think I took the other two kids up to Mizzou for a football game. So Aaron and Kaylee watched, like, Quiet Place 1 and 2.
Oh,
and,
now does Aaron like scary movies?
Oh, no.
She just does it for her daughter.
Yeah.
Quiet Place 1 and 2, that's closer to action, so I could see where it would be okay.
Yeah.
What was the other one you were about to say?
They did Old.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. No, that's M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Yeah.
So, again... And that's why I asked that while ago, if you guys were like, if she's like, because scary movies, especially in my household, which is my daughters were here a little bit, and then they jumped off the genre.
Yeah.
Because Missy's absolute loves it. And scary movies are Halloween and Friday the 13th, and those are scary movies. I was wondering, has she ventured into like classic horror?
Not yet.
Okay.
But for Christmas, Madeline did get her the Book of Carrie, so we'll see if she reads that and then wants to see the movie.
That's a scary movie.
Yeah.
It's scarier, too, because of the themes and the mood it sets as opposed to what happens, but still a scary movie, man.
Yeah. I've been working on her for Salem's Lot.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I would suggest, and this is two movies that Hayden absolutely loved, I would suggest, if she hasn't seen Get Out and Us.
Yeah, I don't think she's seen those yet.
Us, to me, is scarier than Get Out.
Yeah.
But both are the right kind of scary for someone that is learning to like scary movies. Yeah.
She's pushing...
And super smart. And she's a smart kid.
Yeah. She's pushing for the Purge movies right now.
So, the Purge movie... So, Hayden went as a Purge person for Halloween.
Yeah.
But neither of my kids... We tried to let them watch Purge... When they were into scary movies.
Yeah.
Purge movies scared the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
I happen to think the Purge franchise is one of my favorite franchises, a not talked about franchises.
Yeah.
There's not been a turd in the bunch.
Yeah. So my father-in-law is big into horror movies.
Yeah.
And so, like, he made us watch Saw 1 and 2 on our own so we could go to the theater with him to see 3.
So again, too, and not that... You know, not that I want... Those are torture porn.
Yes, they are.
And Saw... Because... To me, a traditional scary movie has, like, the classic horror movie. Let's call it a horror movie. Is a combination of gore, jump scares, and sometimes a little bit of nudity.
Yeah.
And Saw does not do the jump scares or any of the nudity, but it goes hard in the gore.
Yes, it does.
And I'll argue that Saw 1 is as genre-defining as any movie that came out.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about that on the show before. You know, Die Hard was a culture changer.
Yep.
Matrix was a culture changer. Certainly Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
Now,
I'd even go as far as saying Scream did.
Oh, yeah.
Because it reinvented the horror
slasher,
movie.
The slasher, especially. And what Scream did for the slasher, Saw ended up doing for the torture horror, which led to...
Like Hostel.
Hostel and Green Flame, which was one that came out. Eli Roth did.
Yeah.
A lot of those movies. Yeah. I can't even think of the other one I was about to say. But yeah, I mean, it's... And... Saw 1 was clever.
Yes.
Now, Saw 2 started leaning into the different traps more than it did the story.
Yeah.
But I will say this. One time, Bender shared a thing on Facebook, our text message to all of us, and it was the definitive timeline for Resident Evil, the games, which was interesting. Or it was a YouTube thing to watch. It was interesting. If you ever get time on Wikipedia, read the timeline of Saw Universe. And it's crazy how the first, like, 3 or 4 films are all in 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's clever when you put it end-to-end.
Yeah.
I feel like that it was unintentionally clever, like a lot of things, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited that she's into it because at some point you can say, hey... You're just going to have to go watch these movies with the parents.
You can live with them in October.
That's right. Yeah, because we do 31 scary movies in October. And very few repeats. We maybe repeat. We for sure always repeat Halloween. It's Missy's one of her favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And we'll always hit on some of the classics like Friday 13th, the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
But we do different. And we love the... With Missy, the more B-movie, the better.
Yeah.
She just, you know...
I have a feeling when Scream 4 comes out, she'll be pushing to watch those before.
So Scream 5.
Or 5, it's 5,
yeah. Which is, I could see why you'd forget. And I'm glad they're finally embracing that it's Scream, because it was just called Scream.
Yeah.
And now it's 5, which probably somebody said, hey, we got to quit marketing this with the same fucking name as the first one.
Yeah.
Especially since it's telling the same story with the same characters.
Yep.
Courtney Cox, let me ask you this. So Jennifer Aniston's clearly, historically, one of the hottest women that we've seen on TV.
Yeah.
She's looking a little plastic surgery in life now.
Yeah.
She's just like she's catching up to where Courtney Cox was 8 years ago. Like a little too plastic surgery.
Yeah, a little too much.
I'd argue that if you've ever seen 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Oh, it's been a long time.
The hottest Courtney Cox ever was is in that or the very beginning of the Longest Yard remake. That was like peak hot Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston had a peak hotness that through some of those brawless episodes of Friends that carried its way all the way into the Where the Millers.
Yes.
And Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
And then something happened right after those. Somebody said, we got to freeze your face right here.
Yeah.
And now she looks like she's had a lot of plastic surgery.
Someone probably said, oh, I can see a wrinkle.
Oh, yeah, they lose it.
That did it.
That's too bad, too. And I know, Jane Fonda seems like someone who has let herself get wrinkly.
Yeah.
Maintained a lot of hotness for a long time.
Yeah.
Suzanne Summers certainly did for a while, and then you could see the plastic surgery hit her. She looks kind of scary now. That's too bad, though, because you know what it is? It's just a reflection of our mortality when the Friends, because there was a time where they were considered the coolest of cool and the hottest of hot. It ain't the case anymore.
Yeah.
It gets us all.
At least we still have Elizabeth Hurley.
God damn. How does her and Rachel Hunter both age in a great way?
And even, what's her face from the vampire movies in the late 2000s?
Vampire movies, late 2000s.
Crap. Underworld movies.
Oh, yeah.
Kate
Beckinsale. Yeah. Yeah, some girls just got it.
Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale had it so much, she got her a little bit of that
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson howitzer, whatever he's packing.
Did you see the meme where they showed Pete Davidson and Beetlejuice, and this is what Beetlejuice looked like when he was alive?
Yeah, it's from the New Year's thing.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the New Year's shows?
No.
We did. We started them. So Hayden got instantly irritated at the New Year's shows that they weren't set to our time zone. She goes, well, I don't want to watch them unless they're our time zone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's something we get in the Midwest. We don't get the accurate ones. But so then that kind of frustrated me because Nashville is on our time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nashville one was set to the East Coast time zone.
Really?
Like, I was like, ah, don't kowtow to fucking East Coast people. You do it for our time zone.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were watching, I was like, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Now we got to rewatch it. And then Hayden got super mad that there was a feed delay.
Yeah.
And fireworks started going off. She looked down at her watch right before the 10-second countdown on TV starts. She goes, it's already New Year's.
Yeah.
And that made her mad. Almost not wanted to do the countdown.
Oh, wow.
She was disappointed.
Yeah. No, we didn't pay attention to any of that because we were playing games, and I was worried about getting every last beer in before we left where we were at.
Yeah, we drank. Missy and I went fancy New Year's. We did wine. Mm-hmm. We had some beer for dinner, but we did wine, and my last drink of wine was probably 11:40.
Okay.
And then I was done.
I was already asleep.
Yeah. Well, you did your best, though. Speaking of games, I got this game in from a Kickstarter from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to play it. It's like a tabletop version of like video game RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for 2 to 4 players. And it's like there's 2 flip books that are the map that you flip over depending on what cards you draw and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to give that a go. So you're gonna have to come play it with me at some point.
I got my wife Catan, but we haven't played it yet.
Oh, I've got it over there too. Yeah. I love that game. That's a good game. I love it. I love it a lot. I probably have not played the board game in 2 years since the app came out because I don't have to worry about picking up my pieces. I can just do it from the app. But a great game.
Yeah.
Awesome game. I guess the only other thing I have in terms of a throw it to Missy segment, I have 2 things in a throw it to Missy segment, and if you got any quit hits, certainly weigh in. You haven't heard it yet. You'll have to listen to the episode. We got a new song at the top of the show. New year, number 251, new song. A little shorter, a little more techno-y, a little more a trap beat style song.
Do I need to have my glow sticks ready?
Maybe take some ecstasy. Okay. Maybe. And so I'm excited about that. I just felt like it was time for a new song. And then the other thing is, let's quick, one episode in, what do we think of the beginning of Book of Boba Fett?
I think I was in the minority of people that liked it. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but they're setting it all up.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It's weird that the internet has judged it so harshly, because there is a lot of people who are like, well, this was a letdown. How is the first episode a letdown?
Yeah.
They gave us some fan service and getting out of the pit.
Yep.
They set up a little bit of the story.
Yep.
It kind of let us know where it's going. And Jennifer Beals, they gave us her. I didn't even know she was going to be in it.
Yeah.
I would, again, like you said, it didn't blow my hair back. It's Boba Fett and it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I trust where these guys are going, the Fellini and Favreau.
Yeah.
And so, it's a first episode.
They haven't really let us down yet, so.
Yeah. I mean, also, don't compare it to The Mandalorian, because The Mandalorian had to hook us from episode one, because it was something new. People weren't sure what if it was going to be worth the shit.
Yeah.
They're like, Star Wars TV show, come on. So it had to be great right out of the gate. This one can build a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going to do.
I think so, too. And it's Robert Rodriguez directing it, so, I mean, you know it's going to be good.
That episode was, yeah. He's not doing all of
them. He's a showrunner, though.
Yeah, which, he's great. I mean, if you know anything about me, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino are, like, two of my idols.
Yeah.
And, up there with Kevin Smith of the world and stuff. So, yeah, look, as this episode comes out on a Wednesday, we'll have watched the second episode. That's why I only put it in to throw it to Missy, because, one, it's first episode. We can't judge the series yet. And, two, it wasn't the greatest episode, but it certainly was not a turd.
Yeah. I mean, first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, you got the fight with Bartok at the beginning, and then you didn't have much else after that.
Yeah. I tell you what I did, though. I enjoyed seeing the Tusken Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
The day in the life of the Tusken Raiders, essentially.
Yeah, because,
that was cool.
If you haven't read the books, you don't know a whole lot about them.
And I haven't read it outside of the Timothy Zahn books and the R.A. Salvatore book. I haven't read a book in a long time.
Yeah.
So I had kind of forgotten anything that had ever been laid out, other than maybe a comic series here or there.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And, certainly they kicked his butt, but he also was, I thought also they did a great job of what he looked like, because he was drying out in the sun. And, the monster looked cool that they fought.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, people. Just give it a break.
Yeah.
Like Matt Basler said when he was on the show, sometimes we forget that stories need to take us somewhere. They can't just get there and stay there.
Well, and I also think people are used to the Netflix model where here's all 10 episodes, just binge them all. This is going to be a slow build.
And Netflix has changed that with some shows.
Yeah.
I'll be real shocked if all of Stranger Things comes out at once.
Yeah.
Because it's the last season. I could see them releasing the first three and then giving us a week.
Yeah.
The
Amazon model.
Yeah. And I watched, and Netflix has done it. They did it with the cartoon Arcane, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
They do it with the Transformers when they release those.
Yeah.
There was something else recently they did it with, but I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I like the Amazon model. So
it's got enough to get you hooked and then you're back every week.
Absolutely.
My kids hate it because they're not used to that.
Kids are spoiled these days.
They are.
That's all there is to it. I'm excited. I'm excited, anytime something new comes out. And I'm so excited. And rarely, with the exception of vacations, I rarely don't have time to watch all that many episodes in one day anyway.
Yeah.
So and there's times where it's kind of ruined my weekend because I'm going to cancel my plans to watch this whole show. So I'm okay with it.
And there's sometimes when they do that, you can't go on the internet for a week because you can't get through the show and people are already talking.
Yeah, definitely. Hell, I've never, for the first time ever with Hayden, I saw her say, I can't go on to anything because we didn't go see Spider-Man No Way Home until Sunday. And she was like, well, I don't want to. She was, Dad, we got to go see it. We can't wait till next vacation to go see it because it'll be ruined for us. So I was like, okay. And I said it on the episode. Hayden says it's her favorite movie ever made.
Yeah.
it's worthy of it.
Yeah, it is.
I could see in her, my like, that for her and her young life was probably my Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi, when I went and saw it, was the best thing in the world.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm okay with it. You got any quick hits?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you've brought a lot to this episode.
Yeah, I'm getting back into the habit after vacation. So.
So you didn't get to do a lot of watching the tubes and the Netflixes and all that stuff
vacation? No, because I did work part of last week.
You did. You were the only one of us that worked.
Yeah, so I had one day, I'm like, I'm taking Thursday off. They gave us Friday off for our New Year's. So
yeah.
So I got a couple of days off, but we were going to my mom's house or my in-laws, so...
And there's been no, usually when Tom's on here, I always give some blues notes. Did you watch any of the Winter Classic?
Oh, it was awesome.
What a game, too.
Yeah, it was a really good game.
Yeah, and awesome environment.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
Well, did you see them going in? That's all over social media today. The Blues was posting it. They were all in beach attire.
Well, they were showing it live that day. Yeah. Beach attire. Adam Wainwright jersey.
Yeah.
And they were carrying coolers.
Yep.
They were acting. The Blues showed no intimidation. They were like, we're going to lean into this and fuck them.
Yeah.
You know, it was awesome.
After the season they've had, it was probably good for them just to kind of let back.
Yeah, COVID has ran through them and injuries, and it's running through every sport right now.
Yeah.
It's good. Certainly, I can tell you this. I guess the last thing, and throw it to Missy segment we'll talk about, is you and I get to return to coaching softball this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Our practice is a little affected. We're going to be a girl or two short because of COVID.
Okay.
Yeah, we found out this past week. So it's like, that's the way, you know, so one of the parents called us, Say Rods.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom called me and said, hey, I've got to call our soccer coach and let her know, coming out of this holiday tournament. She goes, Sayrod has COVID, and she was kind of upset. I go, hey, don't be upset. I talked to Missy about this. Not only is this the norm,
mm-hmm.
but this is way normal now than it was in the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because people were so locked down and quarantined, and this one is so contagious.
Yeah.
That it's just running through everything. I know, I didn't, in the height of the pandemic, the fear part of the pandemic, mm-hmm. and the lockdown part, I didn't know maybe more than 4 or 5 people that had it.
Yeah.
I think I know 15 people right now that currently have it. You know?
Yeah.
But it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's more contagious, which means it's going away.
Yeah.
It's fighting to stay alive.
And I think they know more about this strain than they knew about it initially, because it seemed like all the first 3 or 4 months of the lockdown, it was like, well, we think this is... All right, you're going to get these symptoms. And then, oh, well, your quarantine should change to this. But
yeah.
The whole thing kept changing as it was going along.
Now, that kid in question, mm-hmm. if she's not showing symptoms, she can come back and practice with a mask. And I told Erica, I said, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Because this is what we're at. Most kids are vaccinated now. Mm-hmm. For the ones that aren't, listen, this is the dice you're rolling right now. Let's just go and practice. You know? That's going to help you get over it more than anything.
Yep.
So, yeah, but it's certainly a weird time. But I'm, I was going to say, coming off that blue stuff too, I was going to say, you know, when you're here, this should be the height of rumor mill starting up for baseball talk.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen? We're getting, you know, normally we'd say, well, we're 60 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. That ain't the case right now.
No.
In fact, I've got a buddy who you never met. He lives out in the West Coast. He used to live here.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Mike. He just texted me that he's moving back to Missouri this week. And he's like, I got to find a job. It's just kind of spur of the moment. I won't get into the big reasons he's moving back. But he's like, I just, you know, he goes, is it funny that it's less about missing you guys as it is about missing the St. Louis Cardinals? And I'm like, well, fingers fucking crossed, man.
Yeah. There's more activity in baseball now with players signing in the foreign leagues than anything else going on.
I haven't even seen that. They just got to play.
Yeah.
They got to do something.
Yeah. Those guys, the borderline guys that like get the minor league deals with the invites are all signing in Korea and Japan.
Yeah, and I haven't even heard more about the lawsuit from the minor league versus MLB thing.
Yeah.
There's going to be money paid out.
Oh, yeah.
As well they should. I mean, if having Greg Larson on the show taught us anything, these minor league players deserve more than what they've been getting for the last 60 years.
Well, and it's crazy because these minor league guys are signing. They're going to the facilities and working out. So none of this is really impacting them.
Yeah, it's just the major league guys.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think that's all we got. All
right.
This was a long, or not a long episode, but this was a lot of TV talk in a short episode. So I don't have anything else. I'm not changing the outro music yet. I might eventually, but that's got anything to do with the way Jay tells us.
Bye.
And we're going to play the music.
That's what we're listening to.